This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, March 20th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear from a former Western Illinois mayor who's the newest member of the Amtrak Board of Directors. We'll also have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Jurors heard more dirt about Illinois politicians Wednesday in the trial of political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Robert Wildebor has more.
Stuart Levine says in 2003 he paid $14,000 to charter a private plane for Governor Rod Blagojevich and his staff. The plane went from Chicago to New York, where Blagojevich was doing a number of fundraising events. On the flight back, Levine says he thanked the governor for appointing him to a certain state board. Levine says the governor told him not to talk directly to him about state boards, but then added, quote, "If you stick with us, you will do very well for yourself." Levine told jurors he interpreted that to mean that he would be able to make a lot of money. Prosecutors say Rezko and Levine used their connections in Illinois government to get bribes from companies hoping to get state contracts. In a written statement, the governor said, "Levine's assertions are wrong. That's not how the governor does business." I'm Robert Wildebor.
Turnout was light last night for a public hearing on Illinois American Water's proposed 60% rate increase for the Champaign-Urbana area. We get that story from AM 580's Jim Meadows.
Illinois American Water has already held several public meetings of its own on its rate request. Those meetings drew more people than last night's hearing, which is the only one scheduled by the Illinois Commerce Commission, which will actually decide on the issue. Among the four people who spoke, Nancy Diedrich Rybicki said any government proposing a 60% tax hike would be condemned as inefficient.
And so my question is, how efficient is this corporation at running this business if it needs a 60% rate hike?
St. Joseph Mayor B.J. Hackler also said a 60% rate increase would be a big one, but that Illinois American has provided good service and worked with St. Joseph as the town expanded.
If an increase of 60% seems high, I think the residents of St. Joe could handle a 30% very easily.
Illinois American says the rate increase would cover most of the cost of a new water treatment plant, plus millions spent on other local water projects. The ICC is to rule on the rate request this summer. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The mayor of Danville says the hike in the city's gasoline tax, approved Tuesday, will fund the repair of 12 to 15 miles of city streets each year. The Danville City Council voted 10-3 to raise the city's gasoline tax from a penny a gallon to a nickel and add a first-time 2-cent tax on diesel fuel. Biodiesel and E85 fuel is exempt. Mayor Scott Eisenhower says Danville needs the revenue to fix its deteriorating streets. He says state motor fuel tax revenue to Danville has been declining, while the weather this winter was especially tough on city streets because of the heavy freeze-thaw cycles.
The deterioration and decay in the roads that we are seeing today are actually more consistent with what we would see in May. Now we're going to go through an entire April rain season, and that is only going to continue to deteriorate the streets that we have. Our citizens had gotten to a point where they said enough is enough. You've got to do something to fix the roads.
Eisenhower says he doesn't think the higher gasoline tax will send many motorists to gas stations in neighboring towns. He says the nearest town, Tilton, already has a 5-cent city gasoline tax, and its gas prices are no different than Danville's. Danville's gasoline and diesel tax hike takes effect May 1st. Republicans in the Illinois Senate are mounting a drive to change the state's health care programs for low-income residents. A set of bills would force the state to pay off long-overdue reimbursements under the Medicaid program to hospitals, nursing homes, and doctors who treated patients. Senator Christine Redonio of Lamont says it also addresses her concern that the Blagojevich administration has extended state-sponsored health care too fast.
Stop expanding the programs right now until we can be sure that we're paying the bills that we have. Secondly, make sure the people that are on the rolls currently are actually eligible. And then finally, to pay our bills on time.
Redonio charges that the state is admitting people who make more than established income guidelines. Another bill would require recipients to meet the same citizenship guidelines for the state's All Kids program that other Medicaid programs require. But the GOP package faces an uncertain future in the Democratic-controlled state Senate. Democrat Mike Frerichs of Champaign says the bills have been referred to committee for further discussion. Opponents of the Iraq War marked its fifth anniversary yesterday with vigils in Champaign and Urbana. About 25 people protested at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, while more than 60 demanded an end to the war in the front of the Veterans Memorial in downtown Urbana. The protests were held by local members of MoveOn.org, including Robert Naaman. He hopes the protests will increase pressure on lawmakers to take action that will end the war.
Senators Obama and Durbin have spoken out against the war, but, you know, they could do more. And Representative Johnson, unfortunately, has done very little to bring the war to an end. And, we would definitely like to see Representative Johnson to pressure the president to change policy and end the war.
Naaman says he hopes that by November, a new president will change the policy in Iraq and the war and pursue diplomacy in the region. So far, nearly 4,000 U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq. Estimates of the number of Iraqis killed range from the tens to the hundreds of thousands. The state is prepared to help officials in southern Illinois deal with the widespread flooding in the area. The State Emergency Operations Center is monitoring the situation and will quickly deploy personnel if requested by local officials. Patty Thompson with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency says they've already helped some local emergency managers deal with flooding-related problems.
We've had some conservation officers from the Department of Natural Resources that have gone down and helped with evacuating some people in a few counties.
Conservation officers were sent to Union County late Tuesday and Pulaski and Johnson counties early yesterday to help evacuate residents in flooded areas. Thompson says state officials will continue to monitor the situation until their assistance isn't needed anymore. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. A Western Illinois man, who's the newest member of the Amtrak Board of Directors, already knows what he'd like to improve about the passenger rail agency. Rich Ager has more.
Former Macomb Mayor Tom Carper's appointment to the seven-member board was approved by the U.S. Senate. Carper watched the confirmation in the wee small hours of the morning on C-SPAN.
Yeah, I was a number, though. I was number 430. When Leader Reed, they were going through getting some really, you know, some budget things done. And then at the end of the session before they broke for Easter break, Majority Leader Reed got up and was talking about nominations, and then he said, I'd like to have the following numbers considered for, you know, and so I heard, I knew what my number was. It was 430, and I heard my number, and then, you know, they asked for unanimous consent. So, yeah, I'm reduced to a number.
What does the board do?
The board functions as a normal board of directors, hires the CEO, sets policy. I mean, actually, you know, certainly do not run the day-to-day operation, but certainly set policy and can chart the course and of the national passenger rail system.
What sort of course would you like to chart?
Well, we've done an awful lot of work here in Illinois on corridor. Our service, the Chicago to Quincy, is a state partnership corridor service. The long distance trains that Amtrak runs, we don't have anything coming through Macomb. So my background is in supporting and growing corridor service. I know one of the things that Amtrak wants to look at is if there are other opportunities throughout the country to provide additional passenger rail with state partnerships. So definitely that is one thing I want to take a look at, and I think that's one of the reasons that I was recommended to serve. Without a doubt, on-time performance, service on the trains, all of those types of things are important, and I want to look at, certainly want to take a strong look at all of those. I think the one thing that I can provide, though, is a more of a smaller town Midwest perspective on Amtrak and passenger rail service. Historically, the board has been served by predominantly by individuals from the Northeast Corridor or more Washington, D.C. related, and certainly I'm going to bring a totally different perspective to the board.
Would you also be pushing for a high-speed rail? How important is that for you?
What's more important than high-speed is the reliability of the service and eliminating the low speeds or no speeds. It's trip time is important. If you can get to go and if you can get say go 120 miles an hour for a period and then have to come to a complete stop because of freight congestion at the end of the day, if you don't get there any faster, that thrill of going 120 really at the end of the day doesn't mean anything. So while certainly, I think that's something to always keep our eye on, and to increase speeds is a good thing. A more important thing is reliability and cutting down the trip time. The main thing is you want as a passenger or as a customer is you want to get on time and you want to get there in a reasonable amount of time. Whether you go 80 miles an hour or 120 doesn't matter to you.
Well, and you've mentioned reliability a
yes.
few times.
Yes.
Is that the number one complaint that you hear? Is that the number one complaint Amtrak hears?
At times. There's been a time on the Illinois Zephyr line when our on-time performance was 100%. We got, a 15-minute, plus or minus in there. I mean, it's for the system, it's very good on this. The Burlington Northern Santa Fe is a very good host railroad to work with. Reliability, on-time performance, and then equipment is probably two of the things that I hear as much about as anything.
In terms of equipment, does Amtrak also need to upgrade or update the trains themselves?
Absolutely, yes. If you watch, a lot of the equipment is getting some age, and it's deferred maintenance is important. I mean, as it is with a lot of entities, there's repairing damaged or just parts that are worn out. It's being short of funds to do that, and all that ends up playing back to reliability and comfort and service. And we do need equipment upgrades. That doesn't mean we need to go out and buy all new equipment, but you need to keep it maintained for comfort and for safety reasons and for a whole host of reasons. You don't want to lose be shut down on a run because of a faulty engine, those types of things. I think the future's bright for Amtrak, and it's a lot of work. But there's a lot of work to do, rather, but it's certainly worth the battle.
Tom Carper is the newest member of the Amtrak Board of Directors. Carper is a former McComb mayor who's now West Central Region Manager for the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. His appointment to the Amtrak Board is for a 5-year term. Rich Egger reporting.
The forecast for the region, partly sunny skies, a high around 50 today. Mostly cloudy tonight, a chance of rain showers, the low around 35. Mostly cloudy Friday, a chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high around 55 degrees. Mostly cloudy Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, a chance of snow after midnight, the low around 32. Colder and partly sunny Saturday, a chance of flurries in the morning, the high around 42. Mostly cloudy Saturday night, the low around 28, and mostly sunny Sunday, with a chance of rain or snow in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon, the high around 42. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.